A friend of mine, an acquaintance really, recently ended her relationship with her boyfriend of over 4 years again. She is the kind of spirit that is generous, spontaneous, wanting for life every day. A long-term relationship then, the one that carries the bags and picks you up from the airport after the most recent excursion, the reliable and rhythmic exchange between lovers who also become friends, who also become partners in making a home together and meals that need to be cooked at a particular hour, she runs from this. And there's no judgment about this. It's a tension I think those of us who are lucky enough to have been in a long and rhythmed relationship can appreciate. The shift from young, new passion to the comfort of knowing and being known. It's not just romantic love alone, of course, but consider new friendships, those excited, long conversations that come with the gift of a new kindred spirit just before this person imprints in your life as a promised companion. What draws one into relationship is different than what can hold your heart. You know, I am sure, that the ancient Greeks gifted us with different words for different kinds of love. There is eros and pragma, philia and ludos and agape, each begging to distinguish between the casual English, "I love those earrings," and the same simple word for love of child, for home, for a person or time. Eros is the love my friend craves. It's the passion, the words of love songs that we heard already this morning. It is the expectation that funds the little blue pills of our culture. The ancient Greeks thought of eros as dangerous because of the way it seemed to overpower our ability to think, let alone act. And yet, still, it is the one that is often envied, that is remembered from days of youth, that is sought after time and again. Pragma is the long-standing love. One colleague of mine says, when we begin a relationship, we fall in love. Over time, we stand in love. That is pragma. It is based in compromise and mutual respect, and in many ways, it is pragmatic. Partnering us through the spirit of life. Sure, you have to schedule spontaneity, but there is also an intimacy that surpasses the bravery and audacity of eros. Ludos is playful love. It is flirtatious and coy, though it is mutual in its game. It is an exploration of two people. Philia is the love of deep friendship. And agape, I bet, sounds most familiar of all, the one we hear most about if we've ever sat in a Protestant or Catholic pew, the selfless love for others, other humans given voice through the Corinthians text read always, at least if not often, at weddings and written in decals above headboards and dining room tables. Agape is the love that is patient. It is kind. It gives away possessions. It is not envious or boastful. When Valentine's Day falls in the monthly theme of perseverance, it must be expected that we think on that simple word of love and hold tenderly, honestly, the work it requires, the sentiment we mean when we say it, the distinguishing expectations that move us from love of earrings to love of friend to passion for lover. I'll tell you now something that I think I've said for 4 years in a row, that I don't like preaching on this Sunday. And I think I've said that every year. Tara and I don't exchange for Valentine's Day. I worry about those of us in this space whose wound of love lost will always be broken open on holidays such as this. I don't know how to go about this theme from a place of deep appreciation. But recently, I read a Facebook post. Of all places, this is where the most profound inspiration can come. It was a post from my friend and colleague and mentor, the Reverend Erica Hewitt. Many of you will remember her as preaching the sermon for my installation here just a few years ago. Erica has this brave and public ministry in which she shares honestly about her life, her struggles, her joys, all on Facebook. And this particular post came just last week. I haven't been able to let go of it. She writes, "Long ago, I appointed myself a spy for goodness and generosity in the world. When I report my findings to the chief boss, i.e., she who hears the joy of her people, I suppose it's what you'd call prayer. But I want to report to you, too," her Facebook community, "something quiet and marvelous that has happened. About 6 weeks ago," she writes, "I went to spend a couple of days with someone I was dating. Things turned wobbly, then sour. One reason that I burst into tears on my last afternoon with him when I realized that I'd lost an earring. I spent an hour trudging through a strange town looking for that lost earring while my date watched a football game in a sports bar. I never found that earring. Before I drove home to Maine, I told him that my operating definition of love, which we could also call kindness," she says, "is the decision to make your problem my concern." I might have said this with a charge in my voice. "Well, I think you're hard to please," he said. "Maybe," I agreed, and cried harder on the drive home. Erica continues saying, "I turned to you, my Facebook community, to explain that those earrings were my special, sacred token of surviving breast cancer. That I was mourning their loss, that I was struggling to let them go. 2 weeks later, I found a package in my mailbox, a lovely pair of earrings, nearly identical to the ones I had lost. When I read the packaging slip carefully, I realized that one of you, one of my faraway Facebook friends, read my post, felt moved to ease my pain, scoured photos to identify what my special earrings looked like, found a source similar to the earrings, and had them sent to me. Plus, she wanted to do so anonymously, and when I sent her a zillion million hearts and exclamation points, she was upset that I had figured it out. In other words, she chose to make my problem her concern. This is love," Erica says, "because it made me feel loved." This is how Erica ends her public ministry post. "After thanking my loving friend, I sent a flowery report to she who hears the joy of her people. Goodness and generosity had ebbed into an empty, sad spot. Love is alive in small, quiet ways. My human community teaches me over and over how to be more caring and tender with one another. It feels important to broaden my report, to say thank you again publicly to my nearly anonymous friend. It feels more important to charge all of you as my deputy spies. Watch over the love, my friends," she says. "It's there, waiting to bless and delight you. Watch over the love." There is something really beautiful about Erica's story. And not just the obvious act of generosity, not only the way she was buoyed unexpectedly, but for me, a reminder of a kind of love that I have had to learn to work at. Not that I have accomplished, but that I have had to learn to work at. The Greeks would call it philosha, the love you have for yourself. Now, you all probably have this figured out. Now, if that's the case, I invite you to do your grocery list on the back of your order of service or play tic-tac-toe among one another for just about 5 more minutes. I'm not looking to rest this challenge that I've held in my life entirely on some person or space or culture, but I've thought a lot about why this has been such work for some of us, that love of self. And what I can say and feel I need to say today, that raised Unitarian Universalist, I think that I was taught that our first principle, the affirmation of the inherent worth and dignity of all people, could at times mean despite the worth and dignity of my own self. I can still feel caught up in that conversation with people whose beliefs that I sought to appreciate, that I believed were worth learning to appreciate, how they rejected the way I loved, how they insisted on sin, this thing that I didn't believe in, how they thought that it lived within me, and who, it actually doesn't matter what the stories are, because at times I believed it was faithful to affirm someone else, not always knowing it was at the risk of my own heart. It took a long, long time for me to learn to turn that principle toward myself. And when I did, it felt dangerous, unfaithful, like I drew a line in the sand, and when my whole life I had learned to sing praise of drawing the circle wider. Now, maybe that's not every Unitarian Universalist experience, though many of my UU raised colleagues and friends have shared similarly. And let's just go out on a limb to say it's likely not just a challenge born of our faith, though that doesn't mean we shouldn't be wary of what might unintentionally be the emphasis of what we can do for others in our principles, rather than what we might receive, a good saving news for ourselves, too. But I do know a good many of us, many of our people of color within this congregation and my LGBTQ family too, there have been sacrifices of self that have made us wonder if this is what it means to be in community, in partnership, in love, made us wonder if this is what it means to believe in universal inherent worth, to love the priority of the other over oneself. It is why Erica's story strikes me as profoundly radical and beautiful, especially this time of year, especially the week of Valentine's Day, when so many of us are so desperate to find that connective tissue, especially in the midst of the month of perseverance. Erica claims that for a partnership, platonic, romantic, whatever, for her to be in relationship, she will make the other person's problem her concern. But what she is also asserting is an expectation that her concerns, her life, be on equal footing as her partners, as her friends, as her communities. This, she says, is kindness. This, she says, is love. Who am I to think that my friend whose relationship has ended without my seal of approval, who is off to some other adventure, who am I to suggest that she is running from something good rather than running towards something more whole for herself? Maybe she has learned a lesson that has taken me, I would think many of us, too long to ingrain in our hearts, in our own practice, to get up from the relationship that you worked faithfully and hard at, when it's time to find the real thing that brings you life, a reminder of life, that brings you kindness, that helps you love also yourself. There is no good news in diminishing our light. No more so than diminishing the light of another. This Valentine's Day week, this month of perseverance, may what carry you through the beautiful, mysterious terrain of relationship be the careful holding of your heart. Through whatever love you experience in your life today, Eros, Pragma, Philia, Ludos, Agape, I hope, Philosha. May this draw you in and keep you for all your days. You are loved. You are worthy of love. And this statement, that loving and deserving to have love of yourself, that is fiercely faithful, and it is waiting to bless and delight you. So watch over it tenderly and carefully. May it be so, and blessed be.